The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Welcome to Noah Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping educate you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available. Our goal? To empower and put you in charge of your case. I'm your host, Attorney Noah Davis, broadcasting from the studios of Clay 1180 in Tacoma, Lakewood, Washington. Please check out our website at www.noahyourrights.com as we post the audio for each show as well as follow-up information on each program. You can also email me at noah@noahyourrights. And you can visit clay1180.com for more information on me, the show, and additional programming on your conversation station. This is episode 21 of Know Your Rights. For today's show, we're gonna pause our series on employment law and focus instead on a recent national story that's going to change the landscape of sports betting as we know it. As I mentioned last week, the May 14th decision in Murphy versus the NCAA is monumental. There, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a 1992 federal law called the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. That's found at 28 U.S.C. Section 3702 for you legal beagles out there. That law prohibited states from legalizing sports betting, but it grandfathered in four states, like Nevada, who had already allowed a sports gambling or sports betting regime in the casinos. There were three other states that permitted some type of sports betting. I think it was pools, sport office pools, those sorts of things. So those four states had been grandfathered in the old law. Well, the 1992 law was promulgated or introduced by a New Jersey senator. So he was a sponsor of that federal law from 1992. And because of that, New Jersey had carved out an exception to be another state to be added to the four. So to be a fifth state that could do sports betting. And the remaining 45 states would still be banned under that. Well, New Jersey was required to act within a short time frame to pass their own law and become that fifth state. They didn't do it, and so they lost their exception. So because they didn't act fast enough, we fast forward to the present, and it was actually the recent past, it was 2012, that New Jersey, I think the way that it came about was there was a referendum to the people, and it asked the people of New Jersey, do you want to allow sports betting in the state of New Jersey? And the people overwhelmingly said yes, voted in favor of that as a non-binding type resolution. So in response to that, in 2012, the New Jersey state legislature passed a law legalizing sports betting. But then the NCAA and the professional sports associations sued. They sued to enjoin the state of New Jersey implementing that law. New Jersey then fought that battle in the federal district court, lost. It got appealed to the, I think it was the Third Circuit, and they lost there too. Not to be outdone, after that court battle was over, and the Supreme Court did not accept certiorari, did not accept review in the very first, the first instance in that case from that began in 2012, New Jersey, not to be outdone, decided in 2014 what they were going to do. Instead of passing laws that legalized sports betting, they were going to just repeal, roll back the laws that they had on their books that made sports gambling, sports betting illegal. So that was the new plan. Well, that didn't deter the NCAA or the major sports associations like the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, and then National Hockey League, who filed lawsuit again against New Jersey and the governor, who at that time was Christie, asking that they stop implementation of the law. So they're asking to get an injunction. They're asking the court to issue an injunction to stop implementation of this law that would roll back making sports betting illegal. Well, New Jersey countersued, claiming that the 92 law exceeded congressional power. It argued that a state could permit gambling because it was up to the individual state, not the federal government. Well, after substantial briefing and then oral argument on December 4th, 2017, so just late last year, the Supreme Court ultimately sided with New Jersey on this one in a May 14th decision and struck down the law as unconstitutional under the 10th Amendment. And it's what's known as the anti-commandeering principle, i.e., it means what's left to the states should be left to the states. And they're to regulate those things under the U.S. Constitution, not the federal government. It's not for Congress to take those areas that were not specifically enumerated to Congress. Congress can't take back and legislate on those particular areas. Or more on point from this particular case, Congress was not permitted to control a state's exercise of its own legislative authority. And that's what the Supreme Court felt that this law did. It more or less put like a federal officer in the legislature of New Jersey saying, no, you can't do that. No, you can't get this bill before. No, you can't say yes to this bill. You can't pass that. And that impermissibly exceeded congressional authority. And that's the notion of dual sovereignty. As I read the opinion, I realized, and also I saw in the very last paragraph, so I won't take full credit for this, but because the majority wrote exactly this, and or led by Judge Alito, that instead of passing a law that prevented the states from taking certain acts, Congress could still pass a law aimed at preventing individuals from betting on sports events. But there would need to be an interstate commerce or other constitutional basis for them to have that the original constitutional authority to issue that legislation in the first place. But large sporting events, I mean, that would be hard to argue that there wasn't an interstate commerce sort of niche there or presence. The federal law did have provisions that prevented private actors from operating sports betting schemes. So while it was aimed at keeping states from legalizing sports betting regimes, and that's the premise of the law, it also had provisions in there that prevented private actors from operating sports betting schemes. But the Supreme Court refused to parse it out, refused to save some of the law. Instead, they struck down the entire law as unconstitutional because they said it was all tied into each other and it relied on one part, relied on another part. So as it stands now, with the decision in hand that holds that states are free to choose whether or not they legalize sports betting, New Jersey, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New York, and Mississippi are all about to dive headfirst into the sports betting arena. Maybe Oregon, maybe Delaware, maybe Rhode Island are going to follow. So where does that leave Washington State? To answer that question, joining me today on Know Your Rights is attorney Brian Considine from the Washington State Gambling Commission. Brian, welcome to Know Your Rights.
Thank you, Noah. Happy to be here.
Ryan, can you tell us a little bit about what you do at the Gambling Commission and also more generally what role the Washington State Gambling Commission plays in our state?
Of course. I am the legal and legislative manager for the Washington State Gambling Commission, which essentially means that I work the agency's administrative cases brought against licensees, so let's say card rooms or individual card room dealers who aren't following the rules and laws of the state of Washington. I work our agency's legislative priorities with the legislature. I manage our rulemaking and our records management program. So I have multiple different hats within our small agency.
So our focus today is sports betting. And this case, Murphy versus the NCAA, which was a bombshell to many of us. But did it come as a surprise to state regulators?
It did not. I think the surprise happened last fall when the U.S. Supreme Court accepted the case. You did a good job of setting out the history of what New Jersey has been trying to do since approximately 2012, and everyone just expected that the Supreme Court would deny cert and not take it up. But when they did, especially the Supreme Court experts that we've been following expected this decision to occur, because otherwise they could have just denied it and said, no, the law is the way that it is, and we're not going to take this up. So we expected there was going to be something. I don't know if we expected it to happen last week, but we have expected it to, we did expect there to be a change in the law.
Coming up, more sports betting on Know Your Rights. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Right now, Cholula, one of America's favorite hot sauces, is teaming up with Jack in the Box for the Cholula Buttery Jack. With Cholula hot sauce, crispy jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese on a signature bun. Try it with Cholula fries. Jack! Can you cool it with the guitar, please?
Sorry, just got a little excited about the burger.
Try the Cholula Buttery Jack from Jack in the Box, part of the Buttery Jack family. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Unbelievable.
I'm done.
Hi, I'm Noah from Know Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.knowyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@knowyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Hey, parents. Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, I'll fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Know Your Rights, the show dedicated to helping you, the listener, be educated on your legal rights and resources available to you. My name is Noah Davis. I'm an attorney licensed in the state of Washington. I'm the host of the show as we broadcast live from Tacoma, Lakewood, Washington. With me in studio is Brian Considine from the Attorney General's or the Gambling Commission. Is it under the Attorney General's office, the Gambling Commission, or is it a separate agency altogether?
It's a separate state agency.
So Brian Considine from the Gambling Commission is with us in studio today. Brian is also a lawyer, and we're talking about this seminal case that came down from the U.S. Supreme Court just here in the middle of May that disrupted or changed the landscape on sports betting. The big question, Brian, that everyone has is, what does this case, what is the impact on residents of the state of Washington?
Well, the impact is huge, I think, in the United States. Right now in the state of Washington, it doesn't have an impact. The Washington law still prohibits sports betting, and it would have to be authorized by the legislature. The state constitution, Article 2, Section 24, requires the legislature to authorize any form of gambling. So it's basically illegal or unauthorized until they take a vote. And the constitution requires a 60% majority vote by the legislature, or if it were to come through an initiative, it'd have to be a 60% vote by the people.
And I saw that your department issued a statement the other day, a press release that said exactly that, which is, hold on a second here. I know people are excited that want to engage in online betting or sports betting, but just because this case came down, it doesn't mean that it's legal in the state of Washington, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's just the way it is right now, and the legislature has to act.
So this is what I want to tell folks out there that are listening that thought that this was going to make an immediate impact or immediate change to the gambling law.
Pump your brakes, kid.
That's right. Pump your brakes. You got to hold off here a little bit because we're going to end up putting the horse before the cart. We need to get some legislative approval before the laws change in the state of Washington. Now, there are other states that are already ahead of the game, and I mentioned those states at the outset, and one of those was the state that was at the lead of this case, and that's New Jersey. New Jersey, being at the forefront, they're sued by the NCAA and these major sports institutions, associations, to stop the implementation of the law because these organizations, the NBA and Major League Baseball, believe that the integrity of the sport's going to be compromised if each of the states legalize gambling. Well, it's already legal in the state of Nevada, right? I mean, people already travel to Nevada to place bets on sporting events. And to me, it would seem that by having additional regulation out there, it would only increase the integrity of the sport as opposed to leaving it to sort of the shady, if you want to call it shady, and maybe it's not fair to say that, but these back rooms of these Vegas casinos where a lot of these sports booking take place. And I don't know if you have an opinion on that or not, Brian, but it, because this is so monumental, were the states involved in briefs, amicus briefs before the Supreme Court, or had Washington taken a position, or was it more like, let's just wait and see?
We took a wait and see approach. Washington's a pretty conservative state when it comes to the gambling laws. There's a lot of different things, I think, going on in the state, and the legislature has looked to just see what's going to happen. Like I said, I don't think anyone expected back in September for the U.S. Supreme Court to take this, so I think it's been a wait-and-see approach. Unlike in, let's say, New Jersey or New York, or really that Northeast corridor where you have Atlantic City, right? So Atlantic City was trying to, I think, get up to mark with Vegas, Las Vegas, and this is one of the ways that they feel that they can do it. And just the population center that is there, I think, is driving the market and has driven the market for those states to try and bring this to the market.
So in preparing for the show and preparing for you to come on today, I had to look up some of these laws and some of this background. I mean, this is not an area that a lot of lawyers practice in. I mean, it's a state regulatory sort of regime. And unless you're in the gambling commission, you're a lawyer with the gambling commission, or maybe you're a prosecutor with the attorney general's office or a county prosecutor, there's not a lot of lawyers. I guess some defense lawyers might have some experience in this. But one thing that I did look up, you mentioned Atlantic City and again, New Jersey, which was at the forefront of the suit. Atlantic City's really lost relevance. I mean, it really has. I think that they've been trying to stay relevant for decades, and Vegas kind of replaced them. And I read that it was the Tribal Act, the Tribal Casino Act, and I'm going to paraphrase that law wrong, but that really changed the relevance of Atlantic City and made it irrelevant almost. And I want to talk more about casinos, but if you had an opinion about that, I'd be happy to hear.
Yeah, I mean, just being part of the industry and understanding that the Indian Regulatory Act of, I think, 1988, when it came into play, it allowed tribes to start offering gaming, and that seems to have taken away some of the revenue that was coming into Atlantic City and the state of New Jersey. And so in the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 years, New Jersey has really been looking at ways to try and strengthen their hold on gambling. And one of it also is they've now allowed and opened up interstate or intrastate, only within the state of New Jersey, online casinos, and have allowed some of their commercial casinos to offer online casino games. And this will also, I think, probably dovetail into that market.
I thought, and I'm going to get back to the sports betting in a second, but I think we should dovetail into this a little bit, and that's this regime of online sports betting. I have a lot of friends that want to engage in betting and sports and betting on sports and those things. And when this Supreme Court decision came out the other day, the first thing that they said to me was, "Oh, that's it, Noah, I can play online poker." And I said, "No, you know, not yet. I don't want to have to play that pump your brakes video again." But that's what I was saying to them is, you got to pump your brakes here. If you go to some state that allows that, then you could do that. But I thought that there, at the present, that there was a federal law that prevented the online gambling, and I'm not familiar with it, but I thought that that got shut down a little bit. The ability of states, or not necessarily states, but companies to do online gambling, no matter where they operated.
To give the great attorney answer, yes and no, right? So yes, there are federal laws, and there are actually several of them that prevent interstate, right? So commerce that's going between Oregon and Washington, or Washington and New York. So that's, you know, the internet is all flowing, it goes through all states. So New Jersey has had to work really hard with geo-tracking and all sorts of other technical expertise to ensure that you're only within the state. Nevada has a similar sort of thing with their sports wagering, where now mobile apps are being used by a lot of the sports books, but it is only within the state of Nevada. And from what I've been told, you get within like 10 miles of the Nevada border and you're not going to be able to place that bet.
I see. And so folks, for example, folks here in Washington that try to do the Yahoo Fantasy Sports betting, when they play in prize leagues, they get shut out too. And I didn't know if that was an IP address or what, how Yahoo recognizes that the person's trying to log on from the state of Washington, but they stop them. They say, you know, you're a resident of the state of Washington, or you're located in Washington, and you're not allowed to engage one of the very few states that is not allowed to engage in the Yahoo prize betting for fantasy sports.
Yeah. you know, the Gambling Commission, I think it's good to know, you know, our mission is to keep gambling legal, protect the public by keeping gambling legal and honest. And that's based off the direction from the legislature. So the legislature wants strict regulation control and only authorize and license the things that are authorized. So right now, anything over the internet within Washington State is illegal. And it's the Gambling Commission's role to make sure that illegal online anything gambling, sports betting to trying to play blackjack, or trying to do Texas Hold'em poker is stopped. So the sports betting companies, Daily Fantasy Sports, DraftKings, FanDuel, they're all aware of our position. We were one of the main law enforcement agencies on Black Friday, the 2011 online poker shutdown with the federal government. So our name kind of got out there in 2011, and so most companies know that if they're going to try and offer something in Washington State, they need to do it lawfully, or otherwise the Washington State Gambling Commission will be required by state law to try and intercede and stop it.
Just a few years ago, Washington was a trendsetter, was a leading state on marijuana laws. We joined with Colorado. We were a little late, a little slow in our implementation. Colorado got out there first, but we passed the laws at the same time, Washington and Colorado. And that ended up opening the door and caused a national stir about people's positions on marijuana law. Is the federal government, which continues to outlaw or make it illegal to possession of marijuana, and it's still on the Controlled Substance Act, and it's a severe drug there. What was the federal government going to do there, and what were other states going to do? Were they going to follow suit, or were they going to oppose what Washington, Colorado was doing? Well, it turns out that, for the most part, I mean, this new administration is a little bit different. It's hard to get a gauge on where they're going to come down on the marijuana laws. It seems like Jeff Sessions one day is anti-marijuana, the next day he says, I'm not going to enforce the laws. But what's happened is a lot of other states have joined to follow suit, and the reason is, I think there's a criminal law aspect, but the major reason that I see is a money aspect. And it's no different with sports betting. You're talking about a huge industry. According to the reports I read, there's as much as $60 billion annually waged from this country on sports bets with your bookie, offshore, any way that people can do it. Constantly, and people are telling me, I probably shouldn't disclose all this, but people, you'll hear, how about this? You'll hear at the supermarket, someone will say, hey, I bet $100 on the Warriors to win, and they did, and I got $200 or whatever. It is a huge illegal market, a black market that's taken place. And if the states can join in on that revenue and have it, instead, part of that revenue is going to Nevada, and I don't think that's part of that $60 billion, the lawful revenue, but it's a huge piece of the pie. So do you see that driving states to change their laws to get a share of that pie?
I certainly think that that's driving the conversation right now, and that's why you had states like New Jersey, West Virginia, Pennsylvania already implementing structures because of the expectation of state revenue that could come in through tax dollars. I think within Washington State, though, there will be a slow, methodical approach to that for several reasons. First, sports betting is not a panacea for revenue for operators. You normally, a hold is a term essentially used for what the casino is keeping, right? So with machines, slot machines, or anything similar to that, the hold's pretty high. With a sports bet, a sports book in the United States, and Nevada is the one that I'm going to reference most of all, it's 3 to 5%. So they're giving back 95 to 90% of the money. So when you're taxing, you're going to tax that gross. You're not going to tax the handle. So when you see the $60 billion, and I've seen $150 billion by the American Gaming Association, I've seen other folks say $200, $300 billion wow. Bet illegally, but that's what's being bet. That's not what's being kept by the sports books. And so for Nevada example, I think there was $4.87 billion bet last year. They took in the sports book, and it was a record banner year for them, $248 million, or 5.1% of the hold, which was only 2.1% of all gambling in the state of Nevada. Mm. So if you take a look at kind of, let's say, tax revenue. So for Nevada, they have a 6.5% tax, which is low. Most other states are looking at between 7 and 10. I think Pennsylvania has a 30% tax, but they think that's going to be a barrier to entry for a lot of people. So for Nevada, it's $16 million out of, what did I say, $4.8 billion bet. So for states who are looking for tax revenues, you have to make sure that you have the volume coming in. And I don't know what the volume is going to be for Washington State.
You're listening to Know Your Rights. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. More on sports betting coming up.
Hi, I'm Jack Box, and for the millions of Americans living with a taco obsession, my new $3 taco deal with three of the tacos you love and a small drink can offer relief. Relief for people like Janet, who changed her name to Mrs. Taco.
Actually, it's Ms. Taco.
Or Dave, who celebrates Taco Tuesday every day.
Taco Tuesday!
No, Dave, it's Sunday. And it's your wife's birthday.
Oh, I should get her some tacos!
So please, try my $3 taco deal today. New at Jack in the Box. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Small fountain drink.
Hi, I'm Noah from Noah Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there, see how we can help you, and if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Noah Your Rights, the show dedicated to educating you on your legal rights and resources available to you. We're talking sports betting today. We're talking gaming law. We're talking the recent Supreme Court decision that changed the landscape on what states could do on the sports betting scene. What the Supreme Court ruled just on May 14th, just about a week ago, was that states could now implement laws that allowed sports betting within the confines of those particular states. New Jersey was at the forefront of this. West Virginia is another state that's out there. Pennsylvania is another one that's rolling out some legislation. And the question is, where does Washington stand on this? And I'm here with Brian Considine from the Washington State Gambling Commission. And Brian is an attorney with the Gambling Commission. And right before the break, Brian, you're talking about some numbers that you had with the with Nevada, because I thought that the driving force for this industry across the U.S. And that's legalizing it from state to state, it would be driven by tax revenue. And you gave us some numbers that tend to show that it's maybe not a huge portion of the gambling revenue. At least it's not in places like Nevada. It's not a huge portion of the gambling revenue. And on top of that, the professional associations are asking the NBA, the Major League Baseball, they're asking for a 1% kickback fee to pay to them. I think they call it an integrity fee. And so that would further cut into the revenue stream that any state government potentially could realize. So where do you think Washington would stand? I mean, we seem to be always at a budget crunch or budget crisis in the state, and the state's always looking for other ways to generate revenue. So where do you think that the revenue plays into this formula as far as Washington State goes?
I think the revenue will clearly be something that the legislature will be looking at, and I expect that it will be something that I will be continually asked over the next several months before the 2019 legislative session starts about revenue, because that's going to probably be a driving factor for the legislature. And the complexity of gambling revenues in the state is going to make it a slow walk. For example, there is no state gambling tax on any gambling activity. It is local, so your city or your county, usually the city, is going to have a tax on your card room, on your pull tabs, on the nonprofits, and it can get set up to a certain amount. There is also a B&O tax on all businesses that offer games of chance, and that's a small spectrum, I think, between about 1.5% to 1.7% of all gaming revenues. So if we're going to look to do a general state tax, that would break from the norm of what was set in 1974, and I think that's something to keep in mind, is our Gambling Act was created in 1974 along with the Gambling Commission. So, you know, some of the law, some of the structure is still in that 1974 terms. And also you're going to have to decide, and the legislature is going to have to decide, if it does want to authorize it, what does that look like, right? So the Nevada numbers are still mostly brick and mortar casinos, right? You're going to go to the sports book at Caesars or at the MGM Grand, and you're going to place your wager. Most of the sports books are amenities there. William Hill, which is a large operator, he operates like 110 out of the 170 sports books in Nevada. So they're going by volume, and they're contracting with those casinos, and they're doing that volume. So, and I know that William Hill, when I was in Vegas a few weeks ago, getting up to speed on a lot of this, I think 53% comes through their mobile apps. But wow. Still, those mobile apps, you still have to go and open the account at the casino.
I see.
So for someone like, for states like New Jersey or Pennsylvania, where they're doing that in-state only online gambling, their revenues may look a little bit differently. In Washington, we also have a law that prohibits any online gambling whatsoever, is kind of what we talked about. So that opens up a completely new realm, and along with the biggest part of the market in Washington are Washington tribes. And the Washington tribes have compacted for the right to offer certain types of gaming. If it would be authorized in Washington state, they would have the right to compact for any new form of gambling, including sports betting. So they're going to have a big say in the state as to how it goes. And that's the same as in Oklahoma or Florida or Minnesota or Connecticut, where any of the tribes are large operators of casinos.
Well, so the Tribal Act that we talked about a little bit before, how that changed the landscape and potentially sunsetted Atlantic City and the progress that it was trying to make to be this East Coast monopoly that it had on gambling. So when the Tribal Act came down that authorized the casinos on tribal lands, what I thought, and again, this is not my area at all, so I just because I think something doesn't mean that's going to be the truth of it or the legality of it, but I thought that the tribes were almost free to do what they wanted. And I lived in Arizona growing up as a kid, and there's a lot of reservations there. And it started out before the this gaming act or this tribal act. It started out to be, it seemed to be bingo, and then it grew to the pool machines and then card tables and everything else. But I always thought that the tribes were almost operating independently, such that as long as there wasn't a federal law that prohibited it, that they could end up implementing it. So in my mind, the sports betting, it's because the tribes are on this like independent jurisdictional land in some ways, you know, regulated by the federal government and sometimes out of the authority of the state for taxing and police and other purposes. Where do you draw the line? Like, can the tribes be the first in Washington without enabling legislation to do something like that, where they open up a sports betting or booking place within their casino?
Right. So the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act in 1988 came off of a court case where there was a California case that essentially said roughly what you were talking about, which was, hey, if you're offering something in your state, and at this time California was offering bingo and other sorts of things, and the tribes want to offer it on their land, that's fine. So then Congress, within a year, acted and passed this federal law that essentially said states have to negotiate for anything that is offered lawfully in their state. So if the state authorizes it, from poker rooms to bingo to pull tabs, then the tribes are allowed to negotiate the same thing for on their sovereign land, and that the state and the tribes are now co-regulators. So they may be the primary regulators within their casino, but the state still has a regulatory part in that, and that all of these decisions will get done through essentially a compact negotiation, which is really just a more complex contract negotiation between parties.
Well, so to complicate things a little bit more, and I understand that. That's different than the way I envision it. I almost thought that these the tribal lands became this independent jurisdiction, and with this this federal statute that passed that allowed the casinos to operate on the tribal lands, I didn't realize the compact, the state partnership part of that. Instead, what I always thought was that the casinos operating on the tribal lands and the tribes could, as long as it wasn't illegal under federal law, they could take it as far as they wanted. And so when the state of Washington passed the smoking ban, the ordinance, which applied across the state, it didn't apply to the casinos. And so that further supported in my mind this position that the casinos were separate from state regulation. But you're saying, like, in a case like that, even though it's potentially unlawful to smoke in a casino, any casino in the state of Washington, that the tribes are accepted out of that, and that's because of a compact as opposed to their rights under federal treaty or something.
I think, not to make it too broad, this was really specific for gambling. So with the smoking, the tribes are still exempt. Unless there's a federal law that says that they aren't, they're still exempt. So the tribes generally, I think it's a good point of, the tribes are sovereign. They're sovereign nations. We have a state-to-state government-to-government relationship with them. And but for the federal law, they wouldn't have to negotiate with us, because while they're sovereign under state law, the federal government still has jurisdiction over them, in various different forms. For example, when they put their lands into trust for gaming purposes or just for reservation purposes, the federal government's still the one that's holding that into trust. Now, I think these things are continuously evolving, but right now, when it comes to gambling law, the tribes can only offer what's authorized in state. And the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act also created different classes. So if you go to certain tribal casinos, they may have bingo games that aren't regulated by the state, only regulated by the National Indian Gaming Commission. But Class 3 activities, such as certain type of card games, the machines that are in the facilities, and other types of table games, have to be negotiated with the state. And so the state does negotiate certain things like wager amounts, limits, payout amounts. Those sorts of things are all, and they're all public documents as well. But they're all negotiated. The governor is the person that has to sign off in the end, but the director of the Washington State Gambling Commission is the lead negotiator for all gambling compact negotiations. And for the marijuana side, just to give an equivalency, the state has also created a compact arrangement with tribes for the marijuana stuff. I don't know much about it other than there are tribes that are going through that similar sort of negotiation to come up with an agreement with the state for marijuana.
So let's talk about what this would look like in Washington if the Washington legislature ended up taking up a law in the next session, which would, one, it would have to undo the criminal law that's currently on the books, and second, it would have to create like a new chapter of laws for sports betting, however that looked. So let's say that happened, that was introduced, and it was going to take effect January 1, 2019. Do you have any idea how that would look? Because you mentioned Caesar Palace in Las Vegas, and that to me is the quintessential sports betting sort of arcade or the sports betting forum that you could go to. It has all the TVs around, it's a really nice kind of thing. It's not necessarily that casino atmosphere. It's really centered on sports and gaming. And so I'm wondering if you could walk down to I don't know, the Keg or one of the sports pubs that's around the corner and end up doing something like that, if that's the future that we'll see. I want you to answer that question when we come back from the break here in just 2 seconds. You're listening to Know Your Rights. Stay with us.
Right now, Cholula, one of America's favorite hot sauces, is teaming up with Jack in the Box for the Cholula Buttery Jack. With Cholula hot sauce, crispy jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese on a signature bun. Try it with Cholula fries. Jack!
Can you cool it with the guitar, please?
Sorry, just got a little excited about the burger.
Try the Cholula Buttery Jack from Jack in the Box. Part of the Buttery Jack family. Limited time only at participating restaurants. Unbelievable.
I'm done.
Hi, I'm Noah from Noah Your Rights, the show that helps educate you on your legal rights and resources available to you. You know, I want to be your lawyer, but more than that, I want to help empower you. I want to help provide you the tools that you need to be successful in your case, whether you hire me or you hire someone else. I want you to check out our website, www.noahyourrights.com. See what resources are there. See how we can help you. And if there's something that's missing, email me at noah@noahyourrights.com, and we'll see what we can do to add the material that you need to be successful in your case.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Noah Your Rights, the show dedicated to educating you, the listener, on your legal rights and resources available to you. Make sure or give a look at our website at Noah Your Rights. There's two R's there, knowyourrights.com. You can email me at noah@knowyourrights.com. Lots of the listeners do. You email me about questions you have, topics that you want to hear us address, national breaking stories like the one that we're addressing today with the change in the online betting regime, potentially a change in online betting regime. It hasn't happened in Washington yet. We're getting the scoop from the Gambling Commission. With us is attorney Brian Considine from the Washington State Gambling Commission. And we're talking about the effects of the Supreme Court decision that just came out last week, which overturned as unconstitutional a federal law that had prohibited the states from enacting or, in the case of New Jersey, repealing laws that that banned sports betting. Sports betting. That's where this is all coming from, sports betting. And there's an there's the NCAA, they're the professional associations that have a seat at this table, or they think they have a seat at this table, because they want a source of the revenue and they want to make sure that the mafia or illegal corrupt sources aren't involved in ruining the integrity of their sport, because they feel that that could happen. Well, I read that in Europe and other places across the world, that by legalizing this, by legalizing betting, you're actually increasing the integrity of the sport, because it's not just one location that's getting all the revenue from this and smaller players that can end up having an impact. It's a smaller amount of money going through Vegas because everyone's doesn't have access to it. You have this underworld where huge bets could be played out, and you have no idea how big those bets are. If we're talking 60 billion of black market bets, 60 billion annually or so or more in the US, where are those being bet? How, if there's no regulation of that, that would lend people to say, well, I just bet $50 million on this fighter, I'm gonna go pay him $10 million to lay down, you know? And without the without some type of regulatory regime that watches bets, that can have formulas in place that can see where the money's coming down, it's not up to any regulation or any integrity right now. So I think this is a positive change, but I don't know if New Jersey had this right with what they did, because they were trying to carve out some of this pie for themselves and increase allure for Atlantic City, but they've opened it up to the rest of the U.S. And now we have these states implementing legislation to legalize sports betting. So where does Washington come down on this? Before the break, I asked, what would it look like in Washington if the legislature took this up? And also, I'd like to know, in your vision, your idea, How long before Washington? Because I bet you a bill is going to come up. I'm not going to say it's going to pass, but I bet you someone's going to introduce a sports betting bill in the state of Washington. What would it look like? What do you think would come out of that in the state of Washington if we have one? Because I have seen that we're supposed to be in this like second or third tier of states within the next 5 years implementing a sports betting regulation.
I think it's not going to happen in 2019. I think it's still probably unlikely to happen in 2020, but it's possible. We are a part-time legislature, so unlike some other states that are having longer legislative sessions or are in session year-round, off and on, you only have essentially from January to May in 2019, and then if it doesn't work out, you know, absent a special session, which really has only been related to the education issue, the McCleary issues, then you're looking at a 60-day session in 2020, which really goes from January to March. And so you have legislators that have full-time jobs. They're working their businesses, they're doing other things, and they're not, and they're, right now they're all, everyone in the House is running for re-election. Right. So I think while the conversations are starting, I would expect there to be at least a bill. And I think there would continue to be bills. There were fantasy sports bills a few years ago. There was a lot of activity and a lot of interest with that, but essentially we came down on fantasy sports is sports betting. Under our law, it is gambling. And so you would need to look at, you know, the past, this federal law that was struck down is what I was recommending the legislators that they look at. So, you know, I think fantasy sports is just a subset of that. What it would look like, I think that's hard to tell because I don't know what the market looks like, right? We did a market, the Washington State Gambling Commission actually just did a general market study with a group out of New Jersey in 2016. And they threw in sports betting and esports and a few other things. And I think they projected that if you take 2.1%, which was what the gambling is in market is of the total gambling market in Nevada, you took 2.1% of the 2 to 3 billion market in Washington State, maybe that's $50 or $60 million that would be generated through that. But we have really brick and mortar based casinos. Like I said, they're run. The biggest ones are run by the tribes. If you're looking at commercial operators to come in and join with casino operators, I don't know if they can go to one of the card rooms. I don't know if there's enough volume coming through there, and I don't know what the appetite is to, as you said, go down to your local sports bar and place a bet. I would expect that the legislature would take a good look at how pervasive do you want that those sports books to look at, and then also talking with the market, the industry, to see what's even feasible in our state.
Yeah, you know, I tend to think, and this is going to be unscientific, but I tend to think, as many of my views on this show are, but as an unscientific add-on here, I'm not a person that goes to casinos. I'm not a person that gambles. I'll go to Vegas, but it's not for the casinos. We might stay at a place that has a casino. Normally I don't because I want non-smoking, but I don't like to go to the casinos. I don't do any of the gambling. I'm not familiar with any of that stuff, but I love fantasy sports and I want the ability to do a parlay because I play some things for fun without getting any money in return. And there, sometimes it's just fun to do, right? And or if it's hopefully this is an exception to the rules for the state, but if you just have a friendly bet with a coworker or something like that on how something's going to come down, it's fun to have to be invested in the game, and that's why fantasy sports are so fun to watch when you're playing in a pool or you're playing against your friends and you're rooting for teams and everything. And it's such a big industry. I don't like the FanDuel, the FanDuel, or what's the other one called? DraftKings. I don't do the one-day fantasy. I think that's different. I come down on the side that's more like gambling, whereas the season-long fantasy is more like skill, and it's different than the one-day chance kind of things that can be disrupted by formulas and things like that. But but I would like the opportunity to go and put $10 down on a 100-to-1 type bet on someone to win like the Super Bowl. And it'd be neat to be able to go to a sports bar and do that kind of thing. I really see that as a different than the casino. Some states are going to say you can only do the sports betting in the casinos like Vegas did for a while. And you talk now about the apps. But other states, you know, who knows how this is going to roll out. And a lot of it is politics and who knows who and that sort of thing. But I think there is an industry here. And I think that there are going to be folks that come out, like with the marijuana industry, that develop apps, that develop a whole machinery around making this a fun place to be for people to make safe bets, you know. At the same time, it's also dangerous because people have problems with gambling, and this is going to open up a whole nother world to them that otherwise wasn't open unless they're doing it illegally.
Yeah, I mean, problem gambling is something that the agency has been looking at for the last couple of years and will continue to try and be a leader on in ensuring that our resources are dealing with those that have a gambling addiction, that do have a problem. I do think that what you'll hear, at least in other states related, whether it's Nevada, New Jersey, is sportsbook operators are going more to a mobile or at least something that's internet-based. That is a policy decision that needs to be made by the Washington State Legislature. The Gambling Commission follows. We are, you know, a limited authority law enforcement agency, and we enforce the laws that the legislature, it's the good separation of powers, right? Legislature decides the laws, we enforce them. But I do know that that is going to be part of the conversation for a sportsbook operator who's trying to maximize their profit level and then also be able to offer the sorts of things that they can offer, right? Because you want all these different type of prop bets or all these other different types of bets that you might see in Nevada or in the UK. But of course, that's exposure for the sportsbook. So the sportsbook has to be able to cover their book. They have to be able to cover any bet. I mean, Nevada, you know, if the state we'd be looking at, all right, anybody who's gonna have a license, if we're gonna license them, or if we're going to compact with the tribes, they're going to be have to cover all bets. So if you take in $100 million worth of bets at the odds where you have a $300 million exposure, you're going to have a bank that's willing to cover that.
Right.
And so I think that also just goes to what's it going to look like, right? Can the smaller card rooms or other operators, can they get that financials from banks, that financial banking backing to cover? And because it is a really niche area, I doubt there's thousands of people who can be sportsbook operators unless they come out of the black market. But I think you have hit on something. The decision is going to be, do you want to control what's in the black market? And that's what you've seen in prohibition for alcohol. That's what we've seen most recently with marijuana. And that's really where gambling came from, right? Gambling was rampant in the state. And it really took a scandal in King County where there was 54 indictments, including police officers and others, where the state finally said, you know what, enough is enough. We're going to at least bring certain forms of gambling into the light, into a regulated market, create the Washington State Gambling Commission to then stop and crush anything that is in that black market. And so you're going to have those same policy conversations for something like sports betting. How do you want to authorize it? And then how do you want to make sure that you're getting a good regulatory market that is safe for consumers and safe for operators while making sure that that black market doesn't continue?
You'd almost have to have caps on different, depending on how well they were funded, you'd have to have caps on certain businesses, like a small market cap where they can only place bets up to like 5,000 or something like that. And then some of the bigger places, maybe the casinos, that could do $1 million bets if the regime ends up rolling itself out, if the legislature wants to go down this path. Last thing that I wanted to ask you a question about briefly is Washington also outlaws raffles and those lotteries, like event-run raffles, unless they're registered with the state. Is that right? Am I right on that?
Correct. There's a very small form where you have to be a nonprofit to run a raffle. If you're a nonprofit and if you go to RCW 946, which is the Gambling Act, or you can go to our website, wsgc.wa.gov, because we have a lot of information on raffles for nonprofits. But you usually need a license. There's a $5,000 annual limit for some small raffles. But generally, commercial businesses can't run raffles. Not just anyone can run a raffle. You have to be a charitable or qualified charitable or nonprofit organization and licensed usually by the State Gambling Commission.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Know Your Rights. Brian Considine, thank you very much for joining us from the Washington State Gambling Commission.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending the last hour with us, you the listener, and thanks for supporting Clay 1180 AM. We'll see you same time, same day on Tuesdays next week on your conversation station. Until then, thanks for joining.